continue everything this morning, what I want us to see is, I got hit with a number of questions over the last few weeks. As we started this, it's finally took off. I still have this many to go, and some of these have multiple questions on them. So we'll get to them as we get to them. But one that I felt was probably a good follow-up to the last few weeks, and one that I really think we do need to look at is the question of stumbling blocks. Now, this is one of those where I'm really, there was a lot to the question, so I kind of summed it all up into a couple of little questions for us to look at. But I believe that with the questions that we have on this, I think that there's a good way for us to answer it in a way that we can see God move. When you think about running, you think about races, you think about growing up, I'm sure that you've never had to tell a child to not trip someone. Anyone? Anyone with children, have you ever had to tell a child not to trip someone? So you kind of understand the issue where we're at then. Because what we see, I mean, essentially, I remember growing up, and that was one of the things that I was always told not to do. And it didn't matter what I was doing or where it was. It didn't matter if it was in athletics. It didn't matter if it was at home in a fight with my sister. It didn't matter. Whatever it might be, tripping was not allowed. And then in high school, and even beyond that, there was always that you just like to walk up behind somebody and just catch the back end of their foot, knock it behind their leg, and there they go. It's always fun, right? But the thing is I think that one of the things that we do in the spiritual walk and do in our faith is that we do present folks with stumbling blocks. And the question that I had was about stumbling blocks. I want to word it in a couple of different ways. The first thing I want to do is I want to take a look at the stumbling blocks of faith. I want to take a look at the things that cause us to question. But what I also want to do is I want to look at how to avoid them. How to avoid placing them in our lives. How to avoid the ones that do come up in our lives. And how also to avoid putting them in other people's lives. And a couple of different things that as we break it down this morning, I want us to look at. It's going to be a way where first we just need to simply understand what is a stumbling block? What is a stumbling block of the faith? What is something that can cause us trouble? There's many different things that can cause us problems. I mean, alcohol tends to be a pretty large stumbling block for many. Now, we could go through scripture. We could spend an entire service about whether alcohol is or is not something a Christian should partake in. I know that there's plenty of different viewpoints, and each one of us has our own convictions about it. What I will say is this, if you know someone's convictions are not like yours, maybe you should refrain. Maybe you should look at their convictions, not because of your faith and because of your certainty, but because of their uncertainty. And we'll talk about that as we go on this morning, but that's just one of many things that we could look at. Another might be distractions within the church service. I mean, as a preacher, you see a lot of things up here. You see things that happen within the room. You see conversations take place. You see notes being passed. And sometimes, those distractions could present you with a stumbling block, but it also could present others. And what we need to look at in that is this. What we need to realize is that no matter what it is, we're all responsible for ourselves, but we're also responsible for others in some ways as well. So let's open up the scripture this morning. Let's look at this and let's see this today. But what we want to understand is that the mentality that comes with it, I think there's a dangerous statement that many of us have made, that I know I've made it many times. And I think it's a very dangerous statement that we make sometimes. And that is simply this. What I choose to do is my own business. Now, I know many of you have probably felt that way. I know many of you have probably responded that way in circumstances or situations. I know that many of you probably feel like it's a better thing for you to respond with. But what we need to look at in that is simply this. What we see here is that when we have the attitude of what I do is my business, it's nobody else's, it's mine, I can do what I want. This kind of goes along with some of the things that we've said along the way. Now, I'm not at all going to sit here and tell someone that they can't do something they don't feel convicted of. If we're living a Christian walk, if we are in the Word, if we are studying the Scripture, and the Scripture does not convict us, then one, either we've not fully been convicted, or two, maybe, you know, we're looking at it as God is not laying that on our heart. Now, there are things that the Scripture just out and out blatantly says are wrong. Those things, I do believe that we can call people out and show them, because those are some of the things that become stumbling blocks to others. But the debates that we see within the world today, I mean, the debates over human rights and sexuality and different things of that nature, all of those debates, I believe, are fully versed in the Scripture, and I do believe are wrong in many ways. But what I do see is that sometimes our interpretation might be wrong, and that could present a stumbling block to us. But this whole mentality of what I choose to do is my own business, this is something that becomes a trouble to others at times. Now let's go to, if we go to Romans chapter 14, and we start there in verse 1, we start to see some of what I'm talking about. Paul writing to the Roman church. Now, they're dealing with this circumstance in a way of, you know, it's a simple, something we probably would find no problem with at all. But they're having a struggle with the circumstances. And I'll give some history on it, but let's read. It says, "Him that is weak in faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God." Now, I want to continue here in a moment. But what I want us to look at is, Paul's addressing something here. Paul is addressing this sense of what some would call maybe Christian liberty. Where this is a sense of question. You see, the Jews were told not to eat certain food products or food that was offered to idols or different things that were, you know, made in this way. Well, right here we have a situation where the church have members who are very strong in their faith and know that them eating a food that someone else might consider unclean is not going to be detrimental to their faith. They believe that God showed Peter a vision of a cloth that came down that was full of food and said, "He eat what you want." And so they're going through this mentality, but also you might have a mixed church. I mean, there's a couple of different circumstances and situations that could have taken place here. One would be that Paul is ministering to the Gentiles while the Jews still are holding to their faith, saying, "We can't eat this, we can't eat that, we can't eat this, and this is causing me a problem." And the Gentiles are saying, "Look, we've always ate that. You know, I don't need to eat a certain thing for me to feel that God is in my life and working in my life." You know, if we translate this into today's time, maybe it's the argument about alcohol. Maybe it's the argument about different things that come along our way. But what it really comes down to is, I'm glad you're strong in your faith. Paul's saying we shouldn't judge others based on what they believe in their faith is correct or not correct. You know, just because I might eat something that you consider to be unhealthy or unholy, I mean, let's use weight loss or diet as a example this morning, as a classic example of something like this. I mean, I'm trying to lose weight. I go on a diet and I find myself starting to eat rabbit food, as I like to call it, but you know, vegetables only. Maybe I decide that I'm going to drop meat from my diet. Joe decides that steak is the only way he's going to go. Does that mean that Joe and I, either one, you know, he loses weight, I lose weight, but we're on two different diets? I mean, that would be like the South Beach diet and the Hollywood diet and the low-carb Atkins diet or whatever it might be. If we're doing different diets, we're all reaching the same place by losing weight, but we're all doing something different. Now, I'm not going to get into the actual health concerns of some of these diets and say, well, yeah, you know, this one's healthier than this one. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm saying there's more than one way to skin a cat. I'm saying that there's more than one way for us to get to a specific point. Now, I'm not saying there's more than one way to God. We've already talked about that. There is only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But if your faith is strong enough to where you know that a stumbling block is not a stumbling block to you, but it might be to someone else, then you can't judge the other person because they have a problem with that. You know, if eating steak was a stumbling block to me, I can't tell Joe not to eat steak because it might keep me from getting to my weight. Because that may be the diet that Joe has chosen to get where he wants to go. You know, maybe he's got a different plan in mind. He's trying to get to a different point. But we're not going to judge one another over what we're eating. We're just, you know, we might make jokes or different things like that. But when it comes down to it, we're both reaching what we want to reach. And neither of us are being judged by what we're, you know, by what we're doing. When it comes down, we're still, you know, the outcome is going to be, how much weight did you lose? Or what did you accomplish on that diet when it comes to being healthy? And it's the same thing with our Christian walk. You know, I may choose a diet of scripture where I open up the word and I read it a certain amount of times a day. And Joe may choose a different diet of scripture. I may choose to read through the Bible in 1 year. Joe may choose to read through it in 6 months. I don't know. But because Joe's reading through it in 6 months, should I feel bad that I'm only doing it in 1 year? Or should Joe feel bad because he's rushing things? I mean, you know, it may be that I feel like he's rushing things, but he's got more time than I do. I don't know. But see, there's a lot of different ways that we can look at this, a lot of different ways that we can put all this together. What it really comes down to, however, is, what are you convicted of? What convicts you? If you are convicted of something, it doesn't mean that someone else is. It doesn't mean that someone else is dealing with. Now, I'm not saying, again, this is not the larger issues. These are the small issues that salvation does not ride on. These are the things where, if you really look at it, you know, there are denominations of the church today who believe that having a drink is not wrong. And they believe that based on what they think the scripture says, where it says that, you know, I mean, I know people who believe this, and they feel that the scripture says, it says, do not become drunk. And that is what it says. You know, now, there are certain groups of people that are addressed where it says a man who does not drink, you know, because trying to keep purity within the walls of that Christian family. But what it really comes down to is, who's really to say what's correct? Jesus turned water into wine. You know, Jesus went to a wedding, turned water into wine. So, I mean, there's a lot of arguments we could have here. Now, this sermon is not about that, but it is about the stumbling block portion of what we're talking about. In the simple fact that it just becomes a good example to what we're trying to say is someone may not have a problem with having a drink. It's becoming drunk that is the problem. But that doesn't mean that we can lead others astray. If we go back to what Paul says, he then continues in verse 12 and says that we're all accountable. It says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. What does that say to me this morning? It says that I'm responsible for me. Joe's responsible for Joe. Blake's responsible for Blake. Lamar for Lamar. Richie for Richie. When it comes to the judgment of Christ, there's only one person that you're going to be asked to answer for. And that is you. Now, if you choose to do things and it doesn't convict you, it doesn't cause you problems in life, you're going to be held accountable according to God's word. So this is where twisting scripture and taking scripture out of context, excuse me, taking scripture out of context, turning things to your own argument, doesn't necessarily bid well for you. Because when you take God's word and you turn it into something different, are you helping yourself? Or are you hurting yourself? I'll just say this. I don't see how anyone can look at Romans chapter 1 and think that their lifestyle is correct in this day and time. And that goes for any aspect of life. I feel like we need to weigh everything we do against the scripture. That's not just about homosexuality. That is straight up anything that we may face in life. Because it says that we were turned over to our own lusts. It says that God turned them over to their own lusts because they would not listen. That doesn't have to be carnally minded. That can be any and everything that comes across our way. What causes you to stray from God? If that causes you to stray from God, if something causes you to fall away, if something causes you to pull yourself back, that is a stumbling block, whether you know it or not. Where is your focus today? It says there in verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. This is where Paul addresses the issue, and he straight up tells us, don't do it. He tells us, not only do we have our own things to deal with, not only do we not feel like we can be led astray by the stumbling block that someone else may have, what Paul then says, and this is something for us to be very key on this morning, and this is something that we all need to hear, because I can guarantee you that every one of us every day does something that someone else doesn't like. It's plain and simple. What it adds up to is this. We are responsible for ourselves, but we should not lead someone else astray. You may have a weaker brother. You go back to the first part of what Paul was saying. It sounds to me like the Romans had some members of the church maybe write letters to Paul. And they were asking Paul to address things with the weaker members of the congregation. They were asking Paul as the preacher to address certain circumstances and situations with weaker members of the congregation. And Paul is now writing back to those strong members. And he's saying, look, everyone is going to look at things differently. You may be strong, you may be weak, but don't cause someone else to stumble. You see the problems that they're dealing with in their life. If someone has a problem with alcohol, don't drink in front of them. Don't put a drink in front of them. You know, when you deal with alcoholics and Alcoholics Anonymous, you're not going to walk in there and hand them alcohol and say, way to go, guys, way to defeat this, are you? And it's the same thing with church today. There are so many things that may cause someone a problem that we need to be aware not only of ourselves, but I need to know what Ernie's stumbling blocks are. I need to know what Anna's stumbling blocks are. I need to know what Charlie's stumbling blocks are, because if I don't know what those are and I put one in their way, I'm held accountable for that. Right? You're held accountable for the problems that you create. I mean, that's the way I read the scripture. Now, I'm not saying that you're responsible for their salvation, but what I am saying is that you are responsible for the things that you knowingly do. Now, if you were to do it unknowingly and someone calls you out on it, there's an apology in order, and then you don't do it again. But I want to take you to Luke chapter 17 real quickly. I want to address that specific issue. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 1, we are addressing this exact issue because what we see is that we may feel no remorse for our actions, but somebody is watching. Parents, it may be your children. Elders, deacons, it may be your congregation. Pastors, it may be your congregation. It may be others that are seeing the things that you do and they're causing stumbling blocks to them because they've looked up to you. They didn't expect something out of you. They maybe didn't see this coming. A stumbling block can come out of nowhere. You need to be aware. You need to think through the circumstances you're in. But Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 1, it says, "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come." Now this is Jesus. This is Jesus responding to a similar situation. And here he's saying, "Woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." Now, this sure sounds like Jesus is putting a lot of responsibility on folks to beware of what they do. Jesus is saying, he's saying that it would be better to have a millstone tied around your neck and you thrown into the sea than to offend one of the little ones. Now, I find what Jesus is doing here is essentially saying, you know, there are some who are not as strong as you. There are some who are weak, some who may go through difficult times. There are children in the faith. If you offend someone, you're responsible for the offenses that you create. Whether knowingly or not, you are responsible for the stumbling blocks that you put into other people's lives. But what Jesus then says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Now we can go on farther, and Jesus talking about the faith the size of a mustard seed, the size of a grain of mustard. But what we see here is this. Jesus is saying to his disciples, "You are responsible for what you do to others. You may not have meant to do what you did. Ask for forgiveness. Someone may not have meant to do what they did to you. Forgive them." You see where we're going with this? Stumbling blocks come up when you least expect them. Stumbling blocks, there may be something I've said this morning that has caused a stumbling block to someone in here today. I apologize. I do. Because I'm not trying to do that. I'm just simply trying to find examples. I'm trying to give us reasons to look a little deeper into the scripture and what is being said. But what may happen, I mean, it happens. Sometimes people get offended. We're human. It's how it happens. I've been offended before in my life. You've been offended before in your life. And what we need to stop doing is being the offended and start reacting in that way and just simply sit back and understand, hey, they may not have known. You know, it may be that they didn't know. And you go to them. Now, if someone offends you, Jesus clearly says, go to them. Rebuke them. Now, he's saying it in a backwards way from what I'm saying right now, but he's saying that. He's saying right here, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, all right, well, put yourselves in the shoes of the brother if you trespass against someone else. Jesus is addressing both issues here. at the same time. And he's saying, if your brother offends you, if your brother offends you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. If Joe upsets me, if Joe causes me a problem, if he puts a stumbling block in my way, I need to go to Joe and tell Joe, hey, look, this is what you did to me. And I need to tell him why. I need to clear it up with scripture. And then I need to give Joe a chance to repent. Because until Joe knows he did it, he can never repent for something he didn't know he did. But it'll also give Joe the opportunity to the next time when he's about to do the same thing, to think about it and say, hey, I can't do this because it might cause my brother to stumble. It might cause my sister to falter in her steps. You see what I'm going with? You see what we're saying here today? You see what God is saying to us through his word? Is that stumbling blocks come. Stumbling blocks may come because of faith. Faith is weaker in some than others. That's not anything to be ashamed of. What it adds up to is this. I may be strong in my faith because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But I may have led someone along the way and they're just starting out. They're not really as deep as I am into the scripture. They're not really as studied as I am into what is right and what is wrong. And they have convictions that maybe are not grounded in Christ, but it's something that could cause them to fall away. It may be that they've not been enlightened to what God may be saying to them at this point. But what it really adds up to is this. If you cause one of them to stumble, they need to have enough wherewithal to come to you and say, look, I don't understand why you did this. I don't understand why you've decided to carry yourself this way. And then if you ask for forgiveness, forgive. Or if you're asked for forgiveness, forgive. But do not knowingly put something in someone else's way when they are trying to serve the same God you do. Do not knowingly cause a problem for someone when it comes down to it. I mean, we can be the biggest distraction in someone's life. We can be the biggest distraction and stumbling block for someone who is trying to serve God and never know we've done it because we're maybe doing something that they are not used to dealing with. Maybe they grew up thinking that they were convicted on a certain circumstance or situation. But what it really comes down to is how do we avoid this circumstance? When we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we become stronger than anything we've ever seen in life. And we can do great things. But what Paul is saying and what Jesus is saying to us this morning is simply this. We have the ability to make or break others, just simply and by the things we say, by the things that we do, the way we carry ourselves, the things that we have assurance of within the faith, they may not. And if it doesn't come down to an actual conversation, if someone's dealing with a circumstance and I'm not willing to sit down and break it down and let them know why, you know, it may be that it's not wrong. But how do we avoid stumbling blocks? How do we avoid the stumbling blocks? Well, Romans 8:1, Paul is saying, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We're free in Christ. We have full freedom and assurance in faith. We have everything that we could ever need in Jesus Christ. That being said, what we also know is there are some who don't understand that. Mentally, they just can't grasp it. Mentally, they think that they're a slave to everything. Mentally, yes, we are a slave to sin or a slave to God, but I don't believe that we need to look at it in that way. I believe that we need to look at being under God as a full freedom. We need to look at God as our freedom. You know, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. You have the freedom to choose life in the way that you want to choose it. But when you choose the things that make you a slave to sin, you're choosing sin. When you choose the things in life that can cause you to want to get wrapped up in that sinful lifestyle, are you really choosing God? Are you choosing freedom? But what Paul is saying is if we allow the Spirit to take hold, if we allow the Spirit of God to live within us, then we start to find ourselves in circumstances where we will not put stumbling blocks in others' way. If someone is knowingly putting a stumbling block in your way, call them out. If they're not doing anything about it, change the situation. If there's a stumbling block that is causing you problems in your life and someone is refusing to help do anything about it, then you do something about it. Because when you're grounded in the Spirit and you know that it's causing you a problem, then just do something about it. It might be that you have to put yourself in a different circumstance, that you have to surround yourself with different people. It might be that you do need to actually ask someone to step out of your life. I'm not saying you want to do that. That's one of the hardest things you'll ever deal with. But when someone is trying to lead you in the ways of the world, and you're trying to live a pure life, and there's a stumbling block that's in your way, do you trip? Do you cause yourself to stumble? Or do you remember that someone is watching you as well? And you feel conviction. You feel remorse. You feel you need to do something about a circumstance. You know, it may be that there's something that you just can't grasp it. There's something about it that just doesn't rub you the right way. If that's a stumbling block, then by all means, remove it. I don't know what your stumbling block might be today. I don't know what your hindrance might be today, but each one of us probably deals with a hindrance on a daily basis. Each one of us might deal with a hindrance when it comes to church. It may be that there's something within the body of the church that causes us a problem. But what we need to do to understand stumbling blocks is simply this. They don't exist with the Spirit of God moving them out of your way. Ask God to help you. I mean, we're not slaves to the flesh. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus because He has washed us clean. Unfortunately, what we do see is that sometimes stumbling blocks can enter in the most least expected ways. And sometimes it's not intentional. I mean, Joe might choose to do something one day that I don't find approval for. Joe might do something that I struggle with the faith for. You know, maybe Joe buying a Dodge truck could cause me to stumble. Because I would never drive a Dodge. I don't know. I mean, there's some out there who are that adamant about one brand of car. I get it. But does that really have bearing on my salvation? And yes, that's just an example. But does that have bearing on my salvation? Does the circumstance that I'm facing, that's the first thing we need to do and that we need to weigh when we look at stumbling blocks, is does it have bearing on my salvation? Is this something that is worth even bringing up? Because sometimes the fact that I bring it up might be the stumbling block for someone else. The fact that I even approach them about it, because they might be weaker in their faith than I am. They just think they're strong. So I might go to someone with an issue that they don't have a problem with, but because it caused me a problem, now that's a problem for them. You see, this is a vicious cycle. So what we need to do at first is literally, figuratively, whatever, I don't know what the proper use of that word is at this point. But we need to sit down and we need to experience it for ourselves. We need to examine it. And we need to seek God's counsel. And we need to say, God, if this is a stumbling block, if this is salvation worthy, then please allow me the opportunity to address it. Otherwise, if it's not going to affect your salvation, is it really worth bringing it up and talking about it and causing more problems down the road? Because that in itself could be a stumbling block to someone else. Paul tells us, if it could be a stumbling block, don't do it. Jesus says you're accountable for your stumbling blocks that you place in other people's way. But He also says that forgiveness needs to take place. Folks, forgiveness is not for the person you're forgiving. Forgiveness is for you to let go. If you're dealing with a circumstance today and you feel you need to forgive someone, forgive them. Because sometimes they may never know they've caused you a problem. Forgiveness is the road to recovery. Forgiveness is the road to redemption. Because forgiveness is a starting point where we can forgive someone that may never know they've wronged us, but it allows us the freedom to move forward. It allows us the opportunity to stop being a stumbling block within our own lives. And then if something continues to be a problem, then you can go to that person and say, hey, I'll appreciate it if maybe this was different. Because I feel like it's hindering me. It's causing me difficulty when it comes into certain circumstances and situations. Maybe it's a distraction to me in my worship. Whatever it might be. What it really comes down to is when you address it in a loving manner, you address it in a godly manner, what you start to see is that God will do great things. God will start to work in your life. He will start to change things around. And stumbling blocks are no longer visible. They're swept to the side as you move on because the Spirit of God has a hold of you. And it's moving you forward. So what are your stumbling blocks today? Is there something that's keeping you from worshiping God fully? Because you're so wound up in it that it's causing you remorse. It's causing you discomfort. It's causing you to feel like you have nothing there for you. What is something that's causing you problems today? And if you have one, then maybe go before God and pray about it first. Then if there is something you can do about it, then do it. If there's not, then just ask God to remove it. That being said, the last thing I want to say is this. Sometimes the stumbling block may not be removed. Paul talked about the thorn in the flesh. Paul talked about the struggle that he had. He asked God to remove it, what, 3 times? And Paul said that Christ told him it wasn't for him to remove. That it wasn't for him to have removed because it was something that was bringing him more glory. So make sure that this thing you think is a stumbling block, make sure that this thing that you think is causing you a problem isn't what's actually making you stronger for the glory of God.